tennis and pickleball are very similar to the skiers and the snowboarders. The skiers hate the snowboarders. Tennis players don't love the pickleball players. We are the snowboarders. We're the cool kids.
I'm Crystal Brown, your host. Are you wondering what you should be wearing on the courts to play pickleball? Well, founders Steven Soller and Jules Fawn of the super stylish brand Raleigh Club have some ideas. They join us and share why they felt that pickleball apparel needed an upgrade, what products are super hot sellers, what to expect with their new lines, and of course, where you can pick up some of this awesome merch. All right, now to the show. Welcome to Simply Pickleball, the podcast, where we discuss all things pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America and around the world. We are interviewing the founders, industry leaders, athletes, lovers of the sport that are driving the spectacular growth. If you love pickleball as much as we do, listen in. All right. Well, Jules and Steven, thank you so much for joining today. We're super excited to hear about your brand, Raleigh Club, and how it got started and everything about it. And of course, we're going to talk about pickleball. So maybe we can start there with Jules. Maybe you can tell us what brought you to pickleball and how Steven knew you even liked pickleball.
I actually got into pickleball a little over a year ago. A close girlfriend of mine asked me if I wanted to take a clinic, and I was like, I had no idea what it even was. Everybody was talking about it. Pickleball, pickleball. I'm like, is it with a bat and a ball? Like, I had no idea that there was a paddle and a net. I had no idea. So we went to a local country club and took some clinics, and I was hooked. So much fun. Loved the social aspect about it. Mm-hmm. And how it's a little similar to tennis, but I think the thing that's so different is the social aspect.
Yeah.
Tennis, it's uber competitive and you really don't interact with your opponent. Where I feel with pickleball, you can laugh and talk and heckle and compliment all in the same game.
Yes.
And I became hooked so quickly.
That's amazing.
And Steven, ironically, we knew through a mute, his partner, my partner now, we have sons that are the same age that played basketball together many years ago and now are at college together and even fraternity.
Wow.
And so I'll let Steven tell you business and started, but we all kind of commingled.
So Crystal, it's like one of these things in life, right? So Johnny's a really good friend of mine. We grew up in a similar town. He's a couple of grades below me. And we have also common friends and stuff, and we live very close to each other. And we often hike our dogs. We have retrievers and we take them up in the canyons and we go hiking, you know. So I called Johnny up. It was just like a simple conversation. And I said, Johnny, let's go hike the dogs, you know. So Johnny goes, oh, you know, I wish I could, but my back's really hurting me and I think I need to walk flat. I don't know if I should go hiking and maybe I should take it easy. So I conversation continues. And I say to Johnny, oh my God, you know, we're getting so old, you know, we can't go hiking. And, you know, everybody else I'm calling is playing pickleball. So what is this pickleball? You know, at this rate, our dogs aren't going to get hiked. And what is this pickleball? It's just like, that's all I'm hearing when I call my friends. They're going, I can't, I have pickleball.
So just to be clear, when you say Johnny, this is John and Savin, you're the other partner.
Yeah, my partner. So, you know, we would just like, you know, talk and, you know, we friendly and we've both been in the apparel business for many, many years. We've had a lot of success in lots of different areas, right? So as a joke, I say to Johnny, you know, maybe we should come up with like a pickleball line. Not even like really thinking, just like talking, you know?
Yeah.
So Johnny goes, yeah, you know, maybe there's something there, you know? And I said to him, but we need a name that we can rally around. That's simple, right? So Johnny goes, rally. I think that's it. So while he's talking to me, I take my iPhone and I type out rally and I go R-A. And I leave a big gap and then I do two L's and I leave a big gap and I put the Y because I love the play of stripes You know, if you look at our logo, because right. when you think sportswear, or if you think of Adidas or anybody, there's got to be something that, you know, people notice of your brand. So you can kind right. of build a brand, right? So he looks at that and he goes, wow, you know. So then the conversation goes, okay, maybe we should kind of pursue this. So Johnny's wife's an incredible graphic artist, and we start looking at, you know, some other graphic people that we know in the industry, and we come up with the brand as you see it, right? I have a cap I can show you. So essentially,
oh, I love it.
So essentially what we did is, this is kind of how it came up. We did lots of different variations in lots of different colors, but the double L was something we wanted to stand out. We wanted the stripe. The R looks like a bat and a ball, and the A is almost the paddle, right? So when we started showing the logo around, people went, oh my God, that is excellent. And it took color so great. You could, you know, every time we changed the color of it, it just looked like amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So then we thought, you know, maybe we have something, you know, but it's just a logo, you know? I mean, there's such a long way to having a brand from a logo, right. you know? So we thought, okay, you know, let's go make a bunch of stuff. We'll do like a tiny little bit of production. And, you know, we made like, I don't know, like maybe 1,200 pieces across a whole bunch of different ideas that we had. And at that time, we made a conscious decision not to go after traditional tennis wear or active wear. You have Aloe, you have Lulu, you have so many companies doing it, and they're so excellent at it. You have Wilson doing tennis, you have Fila. So right. we thought, if we go into court stuff right away,
right.
You know, what are we doing? You know, it's just uber competitive, and, you know, how do you scale that? So, you know, we started like thinking it through, and we thought, you know, let's re-look at this whole thing. And let's make it fun. Let's give it color. Let's do, you know, the lifestyle around country club. Let's use pickleball as a way to kind of embellish on that concept. Because we feel, you know, after COVID, country clubs became important again for people. And, you know, people came back and started playing golf. And it was a way to socialize again. You know, people have been isolated. And to Jules's point, and what I've seen, because I'm as an avid pickleballer as Jules, but I've gone to so many events and the social aspect is part of this whole thing where people go and they meet. And, you know, as she said, tennis is uber competitive. Tennis is a very hard game to play very well.
Yeah.
Pickleball's got a dead ball, you know, it's a wiffle ball. So anyone that comes on a court immediately can get a rally going. You know, no matter what age, no matter what, you can't go on a tennis court and go serve overhand. And, you know, the ball's like all over the show with the racket.
Yeah. So I
think barriers to entry are amazing for people to feel good about their activity right away.
So just getting back to
the brand. So that's essentially kind of how the name came about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we made the stuff and we did a trunk show at a store. And we sold like about 90 pieces in a couple of hours.
And what kind of store was this? Was this?
It was just a regular mom and pop retail store. It wasn't a sporting goods store. It was a fashion store. And we thought, wow, you know, maybe these are just because, you know, people like the colors. We couldn't kind of figure out what people really liked at that point. Okay.
Yeah.
But fast forward to Jules. So then Johnny's wife says, oh, you know, I have a really good friend. Her name is Jules. She's completely crazy about pickleball, playing pickleball all the time. She's exactly our customer, you know, and, you know, she's lives in the Palisades and knows a lot of people that are into pickleball. So we thought, okay, you know, do we really have something? Was it the retail store? What was it?
Right.
So Jules organizes an event. I call them bake sales. It was like a sale at Johnny's house. It was 11 o'clock. Till 2 o'clock on a Thursday during the week. So immediately I'm thinking, oh, there's no ways this is going to be anything. You know, we're wasting our time. It's kind of long story short. Jules shows up. It's a Thursday. Jules, how many pieces did we sell? I think like 70.
At least. It was crazy.
And what was the, Jules, what was the mood? Like, what were people like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this brand? Or
it's funny because I feel like if you personally were to get on the computer and you were to Google pickleball clothes, pickleball attire, pickle wear. It's dorky.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that you can find many things that you personally would be like, wow, I want to wear that.
Yeah.
And I play with a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who like the sport. So when I saw the line, I was like, oh my God, this is super cute. You know, it's kind of where if you were to take pickleball and they were to marry this like cool, cozy, comfy country club, and this was the baby that was birthed. So all of these friends of mine that came in this short time frame, they just ate it all up. They loved the colors. They loved the style. And it's just something different than they had really ever seen before.
Well, that's a good question, Stephen. I mean, you know, you have a background in apparel.
Yes.
And big businesses. And so does Jonathan, you know, some big well-known brands. You know, this could have just been a trunk show, mom and pop, sell some things. You've picked, you know, the right audience. But I imagine you wouldn't be spending your time building a brand if you thought it was just going to be kind of a small subset, right? You must be able to see that it could be something much bigger, I imagine.
Yeah. You know, the reaction to the collection was very positive. So we were very encouraged that we were on a track, you know, because we're always concerned, you know, what are people going to wear on the court? What are people going to wear around the country club? You know, we made these amazing button-down shirts that you can wear like as a cover-up over, I call them your Lululemons, or over your activewear, you know? Because sometimes if in Miami or in LA, you don't want to go put on, you know, a knit or a hoodie. It's nice to have like a crisp cotton garment.
Yeah.
But we added our, you know, our branding to it. And, you know, we didn't want to just become a t-shirt line. We didn't want to just become, we didn't want to get labeled right away in what we could do, you know?
Yeah.
So we thought to keep it super elevated. So in terms of our product and the quality that we sell, our knit portion is as good as it gets. You couldn't make better t-shirts anywhere in the world than what we're making. It's Supima cotton. It's, you know, really, really incredible yarns that we're using. And the women that are purchasing the stuff or trying it on are seeing that right away.
Right.
They kind of relate to some other brands that they have been buying that are, you know, high-end retailers and everything.
Right.
So we made a conscious effort to do that because we didn't want to go to Jules's point and do stuff that's inexpensive and got silly logos. And, you know, we wanted it to be comprehensive. We wanted it to be thought out. So we worked off a color palette that we thought was relevant to what we were doing. And we stuck to that. We created the whole knit line. We created a bunch of different graphics. And our cards I have pickleball kind of was one of our original conversations. So we thought, okay, let's put that on a t-shirt and let's put that on a hat cap. And this cap is our best seller.
I was just going to ask you what some of your best sellers were.
Yeah.
Because I looked at your site and immediately I wanted to get one of those.
Yeah. So this cap, and then this, this is one of the crews that we do. This is one of the crews that we sell. And this is like such a beautiful fabric. And it also has, you know, but it's the color as well.
It's the color.
The textile, the fabric is just so amazing, you know.
Well, and it's
people great, notice perfect.
So then we kind of, you know, we had to like make certain decisions in terms of graphic and how we go forward and what we do. But so
can you tell me, Stephen, maybe to go back a little bit into your background, because if someone was just getting into the apparel industry, they may not know the difference between a Supima cotton or the exact how to put the logo on so it's not going to peel off. So you must have something, you must have a few years of experience understanding brands.
Okay, interestingly enough. Okay, so I've had a bunch of brands in the past, and my first company was a company that made dresses, and we sold Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's, Barney's. We sold every high end. We had like 2,000 boutiques and every department store. And I bought all my fabric in Europe, in Italy, in Switzerland, all over. Bought the fabrics into the States, made everything here. And what I really did, the success of that company was fabric all over the world had a certain essence, and Italians did it a certain way, and people in France did it a certain way. And what I did was I played into everyone's strengths and I created this incredible clothing collection. And it was really like an eye to detail and really working with people where they could be the best. You know, fabric was almost like baking a cake back then. That's, you know, now it's changed with technology and digital printing and all that.
Right.
So it's kind of even the playing field. And a lot of these companies that have been around for 100 years are struggling against technology, you know? But so when it came to the pickleball line, I took the same approach. I thought, okay, you know, I'm not really from the knit background, from the t-shirt background, you know, that's more casual. I've been more from like a woven background where I'm buying silk fabrics and that kind of stuff and manufacturing everything. Johnny, funnily enough, comes more from the knit background. All his businesses that he's been involved in the past, or a lot of them were premium knit and t-shirt companies, you know, very successful. So when we started talking about it, you know, I took on the challenge to kind of, obviously, I know about fashion and I know about fabric. So it was just like, you know, working with good people again that we felt would get us where we wanted to go. And Johnny had some really, really excellent connections in the business, in this particular kind of fashion. And, you know, we went into it and we gave it our sense of color and our sense of what we would be kind of new. And we wanted it to be kind of like exciting. We wanted it to have like appeal, like if you're selling something digitally, you know, it needs to have great colors.
Yeah.
And when somebody walks into a store, even when I was selling my dresses and my other thing, the first thing you're going to see is color and fabric.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something you like, a color or a fabric, then you're going to go grab it and then you'll put it on. And if it fits and et cetera, then.
And I really think so, Jules, you must know some of the audience. And, you know, because by the way, not everyone plays pickleball at a country club, but it does have that feel of, you know, a racket sport feel, right? But so what were you hearing right away from people that were playing, you know, where you play or outside of where you play?
They're loving it because really, they're even throughout like all of the fashion, there are not many pickleball apparels out there.
Yeah.
So you've got tennis or you've got your athletic wear, like your Lululemons. People were really loving it. And it's funny, especially the I have pickleball.
Yeah.
And the bright colors are, they just make it pop.
Well, that's a good question, right? So tennis brands have been around and luxury brands on the tennis court have been around. But again, for you guys to create a new brand and think that there's a market there and not have it just be a little hobby, you must have thought that there's a reason that there needs to be a new brand or there's a reason that something fresh would resonate well. And I'm curious, like what you saw out there that, you know, did you see anything like what you guys are building from a brand perspective or any other apparel like it?
Yeah. You know, we live in California, so you have a lot of different California lifestyle brands. You have a brand Aviator Nation that's pretty well known.
I was going to ask you about them.
Well, so we all grew up with Aviator because our kids wear it.
Yeah.
You know, it started with a little store in Abbot Kinney, and I mean, they've done a phenomenal job of capturing California lifestyle. And it's not a surf brand. It's really a California brand, you know, and the owner's done such an amazing job of staying true to her brand and what she's done, you know. So funnily enough, when we did an event at the Hillcrest Country Club on Thursday night, and the pro that's working on the whole pickleball, their pickleball, whatever they're doing, he came over, and he's been there for 14 years, and he came over to the collection. I think he was an art student at school, you know, and he came up to me. And he's been around tennis wear and traditional stuff and country club wear, you know, the polo and, you know, the traditional stuff. And he looks at him and he said, you know, I know my customers, these women, they play with me, you know, and you know, you guys nailed it. And what do you mean we nailed it? He said, you know, if I was doing it, I would do it exactly like you. So I said, tell me, like, I was so interested, you know?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, you guys look like the Aviator Nation of Country Club.
I was thinking the Aviator Nation of Pickleball because, I mean, could you imagine, you know, Aviator Nation didn't just sell to Malibu, right? Like it's across the country. It's gone, you know, and just like pickleball is not just in California at country clubs, right? It's literally being played everywhere around America and even globally. Yeah. So you have this huge market. But Aviator Nation did some interesting things. Like they have a spinning class in one of their stores. I mean, could you imagine combining pickleball courts with your line someday?
Okay. So we in this right now, and the questions you're asking and what you're saying are exactly all this, right? So now we're doing this. Jules has taken me on a lot of adventures from different country clubs. We've done different pop-ups all over, right? And the one thing that I'm seeing that's keeping us really motivated to keep this thing going and to put in, you know, a big effort is the emotion around the product. And a brand is an emotion. And Aviator is, it's an emotion. You know, people want to be part of that. And so what I noticed with the pickleball participation is people would show up and whatever game they were at most of the events, and the pickleball would start, and all of a sudden these adults became kids again. And I was like watching them, and I was so fascinated at the emotional response to this game. Yeah. They were fist pumping, high fiving, hugging each other, shouting at each other. You know, it was like suddenly this thing that was going on and was like tangible. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know,
this is very different. I get you didn't mention people breaking their paddles or throwing them down on the court, which also happens in addition to the high fiving. But I think you're Crystal, absolutely. You're also seeing a lot of paddles being broken and thrown down on the court. So there's a little bit of both. But I'm teasing. But I think you're right. That element of turning kid-like and this element of play. I actually interviewed a documentary filmmaker who's making a film called The Game Changer, all about pickleball and what is it that people are completely infatuated with. And I think it does bring out that element of play, which is actually kind of a youth serum, if you want to call it, since there are people that play into their 90s and also are playing now in youth. So you guys have this basically an exploding market. You have an opportunity, but you've kind of picked a place to start that maybe feels like something you know, like luxury line, right? Like there's, and that must be very purposeful. I'm curious, you know, how you see that brand.
So going back into like kind of how we figured it, you know, we need to use some of the cachet of what we learned about the clothing business in the past, right? So when we were successful in our other brands, it was very tied to the retailers that you supplied. So if people saw you in Fred Segal and Ron Herman and in Barney's, then they associate that brand. Oh my God, look with these guys. Look at the stores they're in, right?
Right.
These guys look legit. The stuff's amazing, and it's based on the store, you know. Today, things have changed a lot because the retail environment's changed a lot. And a lot of successful retail is about a shopping experience, not just about buying something, because that you can do online, you know.
Right.
So you look at these amazing stores that have such a great experience when you walk in, whether there's food and coffee or drinks or how they've curated it with art and, you know, different events and different people speaking. That's what people want to do right now. So Jules, myself, and Johnny put on an event with Fred Segal's in Malibu. And it started off from a very humble conversation, and we had some very ambitious plans to have this whole pickleball tournament, and it was pickleball in Malibu with Fred Segal's, and we were all so excited. And Fred Segal saw the product, and they went, "Oh my God, this stuff is amazing! Go for it!" What? And we were going, "Wow, this is such a great start." You know, a lot of our brands started in the Fred Segal's, like Humbly, and then people saw it, you know.
Right.
The next thing, Jules gets involved with, you know, the whole project, and we have little different dates going on, and then, you know, these different properties and different landowners in terms of how Malibu works, and these permits that are needed, and all these different things are going on. But at the end of the day, we put on such a successful event We put, I think there was about 300 units that went into the store that day. The displays were amazing. There's some of it on our Instagram. You could see all the mannequins. We gave all the staff different caps. We had a pro there dressed up in our stuff. We had a bunch of pickleball going on. And the whole community, the amazing thing, and I mean, Jill's going to talk a little bit about it, but yeah. She went everywhere. And I mean, tell them about the community and how they respond.
I'm curious, Jules, to pull off a successful event like that, A, you need to know how to do that. So you must have some experience with that. But also you have to think about all the details. Like, how do I make this really successful?
There are, aside from our clothes being the main focus, we had to think, what is something that we can do that is going to stand out? So it's not just, Fred Siegel selling Rally Club. Come to our event.
Nobody knows yet what that is, right?
Exactly. So we came up with the idea to put pickleball in the parking lot. And we brought in a pro and we taped up. We had the court and we had the net and we had the pro doing drills. I went around to the entire community, letting them know that we wanted this to be a community event. You know, of course, we're putting a main focus on Rally Club and Fred Siegel.
Sure.
But it's also Malibu-centric. We want everybody to feel involved. And that's really a big part of Rally Club, is that everyone is invited. Everyone is included. We are an all-inclusive club. Be a part of our club. Welcome to our club. So I went around, we got different stores donated different items from their stores to be raffled off. They gave us things to put in our gift bags. We gave out 200 gift bags that had Sephora inside. We had, Barefoot Dreams, Gorgiana raffled off something. We had big names that were really excited about being involved with us. We had restaurants, we had alcohol, Watertown Whiskey, Juneshine, Skyduster Beer. And, we like to have fun. We are not a stuffy, boring company. You take a look at our product and we're going to represent.
So let's talk about that for a second. You showed me some of your products. You have a fellow, the guy.
I was wondering when you were going to talk about him, because that was kind of also like a kind of a funny thing. Here's our guy, right?
Our fellow. Yes. So tell me, again, you're the main designer, right, Stephen? And you're sitting around, and how do you come up with this pickleballer guy,
Well, listen, it's a collaboration, because we have a lot of different people involved. I'm just one of them. And, it involves graphic arts. It involves styling. We have a good stable of people in our corner between Johnny's wife. And my wife's also was a very, very successful designer in her day. And she designed really, really high end clothing for many years. And so we have a lot of talent around us, which
is amazing.
It's been very helpful, because, to be competitive today, and to really, really look at things, you have to have such an open mind.
Yeah.
And so what I'm pretty much the brand police. Like, if you go off brand, then I'm going to come down on you.
Really important.
Because people go, let's do carpet income and let's do all these different things. And but I wanted to really be brand ready all the time. So I feel like a lot of my energy is being the brand police, and then but I also have to come up with solutions and make sure that it does look brand right. I can't just be saying that. But anyway, how the guy came up, in the 80s, there was a famous post of Bjorn Borg, and he has a headband on. It was a famous post, and it was at the Roland Garros Stadium. It was the French Open, and it's the back of him with his blonde hair and the
Sweatband,
So we were toying around with like different ideas, and we were working with a graphic artist, and we kind of like flipped him around, or he appeared like flipped around with the headband on, and oh my God, like what is this guy, And then as we looked at it, we thought, me and Johnny have been doing this for so long, You know, can't we just be behind the scenes and can't the guy be like everything? Can't he be like the pro? Can't he be the designer? Can't he be the spokesperson? So like when we started, we put on an event, you know, we made the guy was like our spokesperson. Come join us. So then, you know, we kind of developed him. We gave him a name. His name's Harry Club.
Harry, what is his name?
Harry Club.
Harry Club.
It's just like, it's an internal name, you know? You look at if you look at this, there's one of the pink hats that we embroidered on. And it says so Rally Club, you know?
Rally Club.
Yeah.
So great.
Well, so anyway, when we put it on and my kids started looking at it, and my son grabbed the one crew and he goes, Dad, this is so street. I said, what do you mean street? He says, look at the dude. He's like street. How do you wear that? You know? And then we thought, oh, that's like so cool, you know?
Right.
So
if your kid thinks it's cool, then, you know, it's like.
Yeah, that's like so street, Dad. Look at the guy, you know? So then anyway, so he's kind of, we're developing him, you know, he's part of our graphics and he is part of our, he is a spokesperson. You know, we have to see where we go with it.
Well, I think it's, you know, it kind of ties back into pickleball really is a sport that can be for anyone. I mean, as a brand, you pick a focus, you can pick a potential customer. So maybe that's a country club, but the truth is it's being played everywhere, you know, at every playground, at any corner, any yeah. place people can draw lines. But I think to me, the Harry Club really kind of symbolizes that he's not stuffy, even exactly. You know, he's really approachable and he's kind of the everyday dude,
and there's a little bit of Harry in everyone.
Yeah,
because right. like when you go to these places and you see the pro there, he could be a Harry.
Yes,
he knows all the women, he knows everything about pickleball, he knows everything about fashion.
Yes,
you know, and he's so excited being involved and seeing people that aren't normally active, suddenly being active, and the pro is the center of the attention again. Like when we brought our pro or a pro that Jules met that works in Beverly Hills to the Malibu event,
yeah.
and he was so personable and he's been dealing with this demographic and loving his new found activity. Yeah. He was just so great naturally. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, just put your personality on and just be so great. It just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And he could have been a Harry. He didn't have a beard, did he, Jules?
No, he had a mustache.
So, Jules, I mean, that's, again, like, for you, you're dedicating your time. You've committed to this, right? And
yes.
Which takes away from playing pickleball. And, Stephen, you're sort of putting your quote-unquote ass on the line. I don't know if I can say that. Your butt on the line here, like, with your brand, because you have a reputation in the industry. So does anyone you're bringing in, right? So you guys have to believe that maybe you could be the next Aviator Nation or even something bigger than Aviator Nation, that because your line is, it could be exposed to people, again, all over the country. And right now it's going global. There's collegiate pickleball, there's minor league, there's major league. I mean, it's on TV now. You have sort of this opportunity to crack open. And I'm curious if that's where you see it going, or do you feel like, well, we just want to kind of go towards maybe the Malibu crowd or the LA crowd? Like, you know, how do you, because you could go either way again.
We're going big or going home.
No, but you know, it's kind of, when you go to these events and you see the people and exactly what you're saying. I mean, I'm originally from South Africa, I'm from Cape Town, which is a little beach town, right? Small little community. And, you know, I came to the States in '88, and you come into a country like this, and I mean, California, you look at all the different states and everything. I mean, it's just, the population is so incredible, you know?
Yeah.
And at things like work, yeah, like for example, we're sitting on a podcast right now talking about Rally Club Pickleball. Where else in the world would that happen? Nowhere, right?
It's going to be lots of places. It's just that you heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Jules says, you know, we have a podcast, and I'm going, what? Why? Like, you know, but to your point, right? So what we did, we always in search of proof of concept. I'm going to every event because I really need to be around the customer when they look at the goods. I'm trying to get as much information as I can, you know? And I mean, it's a lot of work being present at all these things, but It's like so important. And so as part of the stages, we decided, okay, let's get a New York showroom, you know, a traditional clothing showroom. So we went into a New York
showroom. Tell me before, is that common at this stage for brands? I've never been in the apparel industry.
You know, it's in the past, showrooms were the way to distribute your product. It was pretty much the only way traditionally. I mean, years ago, there were like 2,000 vibrant boutiques in America, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. And, you know, there's been so many paradigm shifts in clothing and in apparel and how things are distributed and how retailers survive with department stores and how department stores, you know, are trying to survive today with online and direct to consumer and all their challenges, you know. So this clothing business has been in a paradigm shift, you know, since the 80s, and it's forever changing. And, you know, you see brands come and go, and you see, you know, rags to riches, and there's so many different things going on, you know.
Right.
So what we thought is we can't just be traditional and just think one way. Otherwise, you know, we could get stuck, and, you know, we need to explore every opportunity. So we thought, let's put it in a traditional showroom, and we put it in a fantastic showroom in New York, and we didn't really know what to expect. And we put it through like a market week. So that's when people make appointments, they come to the showroom. We knew we were expensive. So we weren't like, you know, we had to be in excellent stores that carry really good brands.
Right.
And so after the first market, we got some really, really good orders. And we were pretty fascinated. Wow, you know, this is not a sporting goods store. This is not a pro shop at a country club. This is a fashion store. And these are really good fashion stores, you know?
Are you talking about like the Fred Segals of the world?
And Bloomingdale's came in and they gave us an order. So if you go into Bloomingdale's website, they have something called Carousel now, where they have all their activewear brands, and they have something that's pretty pickle-centric right now with some bats and stuff. And they chose us to represent. So they bought, you have the pleated skirt, the pink pleated skirt there. They bought that. They bought our Can't Have Pickle in a long sleeve t-shirt. They bought this player hat.
So cute.
Weren't they so good?
And then they bought our pink sweats, you know. So all of a sudden, we're in Bloomingdale's, and they're doing very well with the product. You know, we think...
Love it.
And
So these are some of your best sellers.
Yeah.
And you know what's so interesting? Honestly, like best sellers, yes. It depends how people see it, you know, and it depends how people buy it. Like at Hillcrest on Thursday, we sold a little bit of everything. It was so crazy. You know, we sold like every part of our collection was bought.
That's amazing, right? Like that's the goal. So, I mean, and are you guys, is your goal to be e-commerce direct to consumer? And if so, are you, you know, that's a big challenge, right? You have to distribute, you have to ship, you have returns. Like, is that what you're handling, Jules, all of the?
Johnny's handling that.
Okay.
But Johnny's handling like most of the operational side of it. He's got a very good handle on, you know, e-commerce and on the website, and he's been involved in that over the last few years. So his expertise there has been completely invaluable to us. So that's kind of where the lanes are. Like Jules is like promoting us and selling for us and out there with the public and wearing the stuff around the community and really building a community. She's done such a great job at that. You know, I'm dealing with like all the fashion and the samples and the showrooms and getting the stuff made and, you know, getting it on time. And Johnny's dealing with the logistics and the online portion. You know, if you look at our website, it didn't just happen. You know, it required some stuff. But direct to consumer is a very, very important part of our business. And because we have, as you said, then you have reach everywhere.
Do you, and did you guys raise money to start this brand? Has this been self-funded? Are you guys sort of bootstrapping? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think that you, could you imagine that you will take in investors from outside?
You know, I think what we really, really need, I don't think it's about the money right now. It's more about the know-how. Like for us, like money, okay, it all obviously helps, you know, but what do you do with it, you know? For me, it's know-how and like what I understand and what I've seen, you know, and at this stage of our life, you know, we're dealing with people that really know what they're doing in our little group that we've created, you know? So I think like if we have weaknesses, maybe that's kind of, maybe an influencer or maybe somebody that can really help us build certain areas that we need, those are viable things that we would look for, But in terms of just like taking money, I don't know what it would change for us right now because, we're doing what we can, based on the success of the New York show, we sent the line to one of my Dallas reps that I've worked with in the past. It was a conversation. It was actually kind of a silly conversation. It's funny how these things work. I love this part. So we were thinking of getting a van for Jules and putting Rally on it and putting the man on it and parking it outside Air One in the Palisades. No,
are you open to that, Jules?
Jules was loving it. We were turning Jules into a Harry. We were getting Harry to drive her around. Okay, this is all the joking that we. This is how we've been talking. So we thought, oh yeah, let's get Jules a van and go on that whole adventure. So I'm on Instagram and Dallas showroom, they have a beautiful Mercedes van and they do their market week. And then in Dallas, traditionally, she would do a road trip where she'd put all the samples in the van and go on the road and visit the retailers because they have these relationships, which are so fantastic. That's like old school,
Right.
And I love that. And I'm trying to send that to Jules on Instagram. And as you can see, my technology trying to get on the call. So I sent it back to Allison by mistake instead of forwarding it to Jules. Posting me, ha ha, Stephen, how are you doing? What's going on? I said to her, oh my God, I'm so happy you actually reached out. We started this pickle line. We put it in New York and I think your showroom would be perfect for it, right? So she goes, oh my God, let me see it. I send her onto the website. She goes, I want it now. I prepare a box of samples. I send it to her the next day because Dallas Market Week started that day.
Oh my God.
It was like so ridiculous. And then the box goes over. She opens the box. She puts it in the showroom and people go crazy.
I was just going to say, if I could imagine like the second most perfect place, right? You guys are in LA. And you know the LA scene, but you go to Dallas and pickleball is huge there. I mean, Mark Cuban bought a team, right? And he's the billionaire in Dallas, owns the Dallas Mavericks, but he also owns one of the Major League Pickleball. It's just huge there. And you could just imagine your line pretty much all over the place there.
And Dallas loves color, you see.
Yeah.
So the pinks. And all the colors are just so fantastic. So that was kind of like, okay. And then this is kind of how it's been going, And then we say to Jules, we need to target all the country clubs. We always like coming with ideas to improve our distribution. And Jules gets hold of Jules, tell them about your Hawaiian experience. So Jules goes to Kona.
It's very chameleon-like because it is country club. It's also resort wear. So while I was on the Big Island of Hawaii, I thought I'm just going to bring my sample line. I play pickleball out there. I love it. And I know that it's big there as well. So I met with Manilani Auberge, who loved it, and Hualalai Four Seasons loved it. And they're like, we need this for festive. Festive is like their big, big holiday season.
Oh.
So it is. We're kind of.
I think what's interesting, that Dallas loves color, yes. But if you think about when people turn to play and they're on the court, it kind of gives them permission to go outside of their comfort zone. So maybe they would wear a pink skirt on the pickleball court, but they wouldn't necessarily wear it to work. Or, it allows people to sort of bring out that kid-like, or they'd wear a funny hat, I play pickle, or with the dude on it, Harry. But they wouldn't necessarily do that outside of the pickleball court. So I do think you guys are really tapping into what the essence of pickleball is, which is it's so much more fun than stuffy tennis or
I have to So if you look at our little hang tag, I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Okay? No, I haven't. Show me. Can you put it by the camera?
Well, I'm going to read it to you. We need to send you some stuff so you can actually really see it. So our hang tag says Rally Club on it. It's just the regular hang tag.
Yeah.
But on the back, we write a note to our customer. And it says, "Dear player, we believe that pickles are yummy and that pickleball will rule the world, that wiffle balls have feeling too, and that not all paddles are created equal. We also believe that sports should be fun and laughter is a must, and that we should all stay out of the kitchen. We think you feel the same way as we do."
Amazing. You know,
That was just like kind of like what we felt when we first started it, you know?
Yeah. And now, I mean, and the thing is, Jules, you must have been part of writing that because it's so, you know, or you, someone who really plays. I think it's important that you guys have both traveled around a little bit because to see that it's not just, again, it's not just West Side LA or Palisades. No. But it's kind of important that the brand comes from there. It's sort of like why certain industries do well, right? Like I live in San Francisco. A lot of technology comes out of here. It's no surprise when a new brand comes up and you're like, a lot of the same people have put their mind and energy into a new brand. In LA, I feel like, again, being influenced by some of the brands that have come out of LA or in New York where you went, where you can really, you know what will resonate with people. And it's not just, again, there's a lot of people putting together pickleball clothes, but nothing feels like Rally. It feels very... it just feels thoughtful. It feels approachable. It feels luxury. It feels like you could be, again, you know, the next big, huge Aviator Nation type brand. I hope you guys are ready.
Okay.
I have to say, I have this analogy where I say that tennis and pickleball are very similar to skiers and the snowboarders.
Right.
Skiers hate the snowboarders. Tennis players don't love the pickleball players.
Right.
We are the snowboarders. We're the cool kids. And we are coming out and are here with this really cool, fun brand. It's all about fun. And I feel like it spews fun.
I totally agree. And I think the deeper level is, you know, what sport can you play, you know, a 7-year-old, a 14-year-old, with a 75-year-old, male, female, it does not matter. You either can keep up on the court or you can't, but it's so playful and you hear people squealing, which again goes back to, you know, when you think about putting, I could never imagine building an apparel brand. I've built technology, but I can imagine that as you start to think of those words, that goes into every piece of clothing that you guys are putting together. So tell me what's next, you know, what, again, like I hope people will subscribe to this podcast so they hear your journey because I'm sure we'll be in touch again. But what's in the short term for you guys and then long term?
Okay, so I mean, I'll just talk from where we are with design and what we wanted to do. So going into it in the beginning, we were very conscious of not doing athletic wear, right? But now that we're selling country clubs and now that we're getting more traction, we're expanding the collection and we've really wanted to support local manufacturing. So all our stuff's made in the US. Everything's coming out of factories in downtown LA, which is a really, it feels good to be supporting local business. And it's exciting to see them be excited about what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go there and you say, oh, we have this brand, it's Rally, you know, will you support us? Oh, no, we're so busy, we have so much going on. Or, you know, how many pieces are you going to buy? Or like, why should we make all these screens for you? You know, are you going to give us orders, you know? And then suddenly they see these, like, all these products coming out and then some of them follow us on Instagram and they go, oh, my God, you know, look what's going on. So that's been pretty rewarding in terms of our supply.
Yeah.
Part, you know? So... then also being at these events, we see people wearing our stuff, you know, the Supima cotton tees and everybody looks great in it. But every now and then you see a guy, you know, in one of our shirts, and he's sweating up a storm, right? And, you know, because he's competitive, and he's on the court for 3 hours, yeah. And he's in one of our beautiful cotton tees that doesn't wick away the sweat. You know, it's not that kind of garment. And, you know, we feel, you know, we have an opportunity to also, now that we're doing all this other stuff, to bring some of that onto the court as well. Because as you know, Pickle's gone competitive as well. You got John yeah. McEnroe. So we want to support everything about it. We don't want to just be the après Pickle or the country club where we also want to be on the court. So we've developed some amazing, amazing court stuff, which is actually currently in the New York showroom. Jules has put it on before we sent it out. And it was like, we bought the best athletic fabric that you can get. We bought it in the US. It is so amazing, so soft. It's got such a great character. And, you know, at first we didn't know if it would take some of our treatments and everything. And it's taken every one of our treatments amazingly, right?
I cannot wait to see yeah. it. So
cute.
So it's got the rally DNA, and it doesn't just look like, you know, your regular tennis stuff. Yeah. We thought about it really carefully. You know, with our little bits of graphics and our little twists and yeah. turns and our little bits of tape and everything we've done. So that is going to come out next in terms of our product. It will most probably be available to consumers, you know, by December, January, because mm-hmm. we do small batch. You know, we don't have to manufacture huge amounts.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be close to the consumer and get their feedback. And be able to, you know, learn from everything we do, you know. So we're not doing like massive production offshore and, you know, dealing with all that stuff. So we're allowed to put in creativity. We're allowed to make a few mistakes. We're allowed to improve on what we've got. So the line's getting ready developed. We have, yeah. you know, a knit section, which people are loving. We have new graphics coming out, new colors. We have a couple of new styles. You know, we're moving into different weights of fabric because, you know, Hawaii may not want our hoodie. You know, our hoodie is amazing. It's yeah. like, it's one of the best hoodies. If you know hoodies, like my kids that don't play pickleball, if they put them on, they go, "Oh my God, Dad, this is so soft. This is so great."
What did he say? This is street. This is
fire.
Yeah, this is fire.
So we're looking into like different fabrications, you know, to yeah. stay with that, obviously on brand. And our cotton portion is really looking amazing. We use striped fabrics from Japan and from Italy, and we manufacture the shirts, and we use all this trim that kind of keeps it sport looking and keeps it rally.
Yeah.
And then we have the active stuff, you know, and I think that's where we are. And then I think just working on more and more events with Jules and, you know, more country club, a country club approach.
But can you imagine, I mean, you know, you could all of a sudden have a complete explosion, which I would not be surprised if that happens. Because pickleball, I'm glad it's kind of separating. This is a pickleball line. This is not a tennis line. This is a pickleball line.
Yeah.
Pickleball is exploding and it is crossing every demographic. And, you know, no matter what socioeconomic background you're in, you tend to want a pair of Air Jordans. You know, everybody wanted their pair of Air Jordans. Yeah. Imagine if, you know, people start wanting your stuff. Are you guys ready and prepared? Are you, you know, are you excited for that kind of explosion? Because again, that's what's happening with the sport. So why wouldn't that happen with your brand?
I mean, that would be amazing. We hope, but honestly, in terms of our resources and in terms of people that are supplying us, you know, we've been in this business for many, many years, and we've done business with, you know, everyone from Target to Walmart to whatever, you know, so we could scale it as we need. I think the thing that we're really trying to do right now is we really think about that customer all the time. What makes them special? What makes them go to the pickleball court and stand out? It's okay to sell out of stuff and not to do it again because we have a lot of creativity and we'll come up with another one, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that shirt that you got, that Italian fabric, I can't get anymore, you know, enjoy it. There's only 50 of them, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's okay, you know, but I think we're learning a lot from doing the events, seeing what the customers are buying. And, you know, we're encouraged by the emotion, you know, that's
yeah.
like, it's like first it was just a name. And then it became like a logo. And then it became like a patch. And then it became like, you know, so when we were like with rally, there's so many uses of the word rally.
Yeah.
You can rally politically. You can rally to go to work. You can rally in a car. You can rally in a ball game. I mean, there's so many.
Well, it actually, when I play a lot of pickleball like Jules, mm-hmm. and often a compliment is great rally. It doesn't even matter who won the point. It's like, that was a great rally, instead of like, oh, good shot. You did it. You did well. It's like, hey, that was a great rally. So it's very relevant.
Right. So when I was driving around one day downtown and I thought I was losing my mind, what am I doing with this pickleball? Like, am I actually crazy? So I'm like driving in my car and I go, you know, we're busy working on the website. So I think, what was the ultimate rally? So I go, if you go into our website, the first part of our website is, remember the first digital game where it was like Pong, where it was like two paddles and a ball and the ball never went out?
Oh, yeah.
So if you go on rallyclub.net, you'll see that's how it starts. So you have two paddles, the ball goes across, a rally happens for a couple of times, and then Rally Club, the word forms, and then the site. You know, so that's kind of how the site started. So I was just thinking, you know, like, what's the ultimate rally? You know, and then we came up with that. And it's all these like little ideas that kind of like,
you know, Stephen, that's so unique. You know, not everyone's brain thinks the way. Exactly. It is, you know, not everyone thinks the way you do. Sorry, go ahead.
No, and I'm just saying, and as you said, rally is your ultimate goal in pickleball, because the longer the rally, the more fun everybody's having, the better the experience. The ball's dead, so the rallies do go longer. It's not like tennis where somebody comes and smashes it.
Yeah, but people have to be good enough to keep rallying.
I know, but Jules, it's like when all these things that we watch, the rallies go on and the people get more excited.
Yes.
And the experience is just all about that, you know?
Well, especially if you watch any major league pickleball right now with these amazing players, which it's now it's on like ESPN and Amazon Prime. And the long rallies are when everyone, you're right, it kind of you build and get excited. So I think you hit the name. I think you guys have hit the colors. I think your branding is amazing. I can't wait to get more pieces myself. And I appreciate you guys like sharing your story of what's next. And I'll put in all the show notes, I'll put links and discount codes and everything for people that are listening.
Thank you.
But you know, if there's any, you know, if as you guys keep going, please get back in touch and let me know. And again, like I think Stephen, I think you guys have come up with something quite unique. I've been around startups for a long time and also tend to have my ear to the ground on ideas. And I feel like that's why I keep challenging you. Like, are you ready? Because I'm not sure, you know, like, again, if you're like every once in a while, like, what am I doing? But I think pickleball is having its moment. And one of the questions I've been asking is it just a moment? And it's pretty much, you know, across the board, everyone's like, no, this is
I don't think it's just a moment.
there's too much community, you know. It's not like singles, it's like always doubles, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can play singles, but you know, mostly it's doubles. It's like four people on a little court. You know staying out of the kitchen and like the terminology, like dink, and you know, and just everything about it is so endearing in so many ways, and everybody smiles.
Yeah,
that's the best part of it. You know, where people are on the court, and you know, it's like kids on a playground.
Yes,
it's
having a blast. And like I said, I really appreciate you guys are focused on community when you think about your brand. But you know, it's a serious business. Apparel is a serious business. You got to know your stuff. And so hearing that your team is staffed with people who, this is not your first rodeo. You guys have been around the block and you know how to get a brand made. And that's also something that people can kind of invest in, right? Knowing that you guys are going to be around, because it's not easy. And I'm sure your kids will be playing, even if they don't think it's cool right now.
No, they play. My son I mean, they're at college right now, but
I think it's cool.
There's no barriers to entry. And that's a big deal when it comes to an activity. And, you know, there's been so much wellness around, you know, with all the yoga wear and wellness. That's been such a big trend for so long. Yeah. And it's brought people into activities through fashion, through events.
Yes.
And the whole yoga wellness thing has been going on. But it's kind of left out a lot of the people that are playing pickleball, because if you look at our demographic, you know, someone at certain age groups is not going to go start yoga, you know, but they already belong to a country club and they've been sitting around in the cafeteria or whatever. And now all of a sudden, maybe watching their grandkids play or their husband play golf. And all of a sudden the pro comes up and says, come look at this bat, you know, and the next minute you have a pickleball player and she's loving life, you know?
Well, and I think even, you know, I just interviewed someone from Pickleball Kingdom, which is an indoor 20 court pickleball location, and they're doing a reality show called Pickleball Paddle Battle. And all right, that's so LA, but he's actually from Arizona. But the point is that I think country clubs are one place, but there's such a fever to play that locations are being built all over to satisfy.
If you have to, you know, these warehouses that are sitting, that are waiting development 2 years down the line, and people put some lions in and they create a little community, you know, there's stuff going on. But exactly the thing, the entertainment part, is definitely a big part of sport. I mean, if you look at golf, even, you know, you have that golf company that you go and you eat and you drink and then it's like a driving wedge. Is it called Top Golf?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like people that don't play golf go and they participate in it because it's such a great social event and they can have fun.
Another interview I did. I'm not just trying to promote all my other episodes, although I hope everybody watches them. Is Chicken and Pickle, where they've got pickleball courts and a restaurant and a bar. And I asked him who comes, and he said everyone from people after work, people who are serious players, people who are wearing, you know, their suits and they just want to play. So I think you guys, again, I think there's no shortage. And I'm just, again, very appreciative of your time. I know you guys are both busy running around with your vans. No, just kidding. Hopefully soon we'll see the van drive by. And we wish you all the luck. And please keep us posted as you grow your brand. And hopefully you guys will be on soon and you'll be like, guess what? We just opened our 20th store in Paris.
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for inviting us. I mean, we really appreciate it and very thankful that you are, you know.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. So
you're asking great questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Jules. Thanks, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Simply Pickleball. We will be back very soon with great interviews, discussions, and more all about pickleball. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Until next time, happy dinking.